WREF, ESPN 97.7, The Ref, and listen to TheRef.com present The Stan Gerard Show. The Stan Gerard Show is brought to you by Taroni's, Allstott Office City, Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance, Fulton Interior Systems. The Stan Gerard Show is also brought to you by Hoosier Home Improvement and Penn Station East Coast Subs. Now with the Stan Gerard Show is the voice of USI Screaming Eagles basketball, Brad Klein.
You're listening to the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF. It is presented to you by Taroni's on Main Street. I'm Brad Klein. Happy to be with you, Coach Stan Gerard of USI Men's Basketball. Probably even happier to be here after a really fun night, senior night on Saturday against SIUE, and we're going to break that down in addition to Thursday's game against Eastern Illinois. Coach, really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
A lot to get to. We're going to have Ryan Hall on as the Penn Station East Coast sub of the show. And, oh, gosh, Ryan played extremely well. We might as well just get to desserts first in what he did on Saturday on senior day. And it wasn't necessarily a day in which he was honored, though he is a senior by class, not athletically, but academically a senior and in the master's program. And so maybe it was fitting that Ryan played extremely well against SIUE in a 14-point upset win against the top two team in the OVC in Edwardsville. So question, Coach, is with Damani out with a sore foot, you go to Ryan Hall, and that's a move that I don't think a lot of people would have projected. Braxton Jones has made starts this year. You had other options. Why did you decide Ryan was the man?
Well, first of all, you know, congratulations to our seniors, for crossing the finish line. I think it's very important that you as a coach and as a fan, you honor these guys for a job well done. You know, these guys are walking out of here with graduate degrees, and that's pretty awesome. You know, Ryan, Sam Mervis, Nick Hittle, and Jack Milkey.
And they're all in the same program, right?
All in the same program, yeah. Yes. And they all are at least a 3.9 GPA or higher on the 4 scale. So very solid.
So you're telling me that there's a weak link academically.
Yeah.
You got 2 4.0s and 1.39.
Yeah.
Care to single out the idiot?
I will not.
Only a 3.9. Come on
now. I will not. And these guys, and I tell you what, they compete in the classroom just as much as they do on the basketball court. So it's just pretty cool to see when the grades come out. And I always pay respect and celebrate the 4.0 guys. And those guys are – it's just funny to see. But congratulations to those guys. But back to your initial question about the thought going into Ryan Hall playing. We get a call, a text rather, that Damani may not play. I think it was about 5:30 or 6 o'clock prior to the game. And he was told to go see the trainer and see what Jamal thought. He saw the trainer and Dr. Hamby, I think it was, and they ruled him a goal that he could play. And so I'm about to head into the locker room about a little bit before 7 o'clock for a 7:30 game to do my pregame speech. And Damani, comes up and says, I can't walk, I can't play. And I'm looking at him like, we play in 40 minutes. You can't give me that news right now because Jamal told me something different. But he knows his body, he knows how he feels. And so Ryan didn't know he was starting until he walked into the locker room, because my initial thought was to start Braxton because he filled that void when Jalen Randle was out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to make sure we don't miss a beat, but then once we talked as coaches and looked at our last game against Eastern, Ryan played a majority of the minutes and was in a decent flow.
Yeah, 20 minutes against Eastern, right?
Yeah, yes, and Braxton played, I think, less than 10. And so that was a reason to start Ryan, and plus we needed some offensive firepower. And Ryan had a great week of practice, but we thought he could simulate Damani Harrison more than Braxton Mills. It's Braxton Mills. I had a kid named Braxton Mills, believe it or not. But we thought he could simulate Damani more than Braxton Jones, just like we thought Braxton could simulate Jared Randle a few weeks ago in terms of stepping in. And when I walk in and Damani in the street clothes, and I said, okay, we're going to start Ryan Hall, in his place, and I'm sure some guys like Ryan Hall, but it all worked out. And I just told everybody to be ready. You know, this is one of those nights where your number may get called because we are shorthanded without Washington, shorthanded without Jones. I'm sorry, without – I'm just killing names today.
That's all right.
Shorthanded without Harrison.
Yeah.
And so we just told it, just be ready to go. We were going to mix it up. We talked about the possibility of playing the bigs together, Steven and Alex together. We talked about that. We was going to play Milky at the three. And what I needed to do as the game went along was just get a feel for how we're playing. You know, foul trouble could have led us to play that way. But we got off to a great start. You know, Ryan Hall comes in and drops his first couple shots. And we had a pretty good rhythm going.
You know, it's one of those things I think oftentimes, especially in your profession in coaching, you are a genius if it works, and you're the opposite if it doesn't, right? And
yeah.
So Ryan getting the start, again, it was pretty out of the box. But then again, not as out of the box as it would look on paper because of what Ryan did on Thursday. How important was his 20 minutes off the bench, 7 points against Eastern Illinois, a productive 20 for Ryan? How important was that in laying the groundwork for you to, in your head, come to the conclusion that Ryan Hall was the best move to replace Damani Harrison in the lineup against
Well,
the
I'm glad it worked out because I'm sure I would have been an idiot to everybody in the crowd watching. But it's one of those things, man. I sent this quote out to my friend right after I left shoot around. It says, every time I went against my gut feeling, I paid the price. And I did a couple times this year, trust me. But my gut was saying Ryan Hall.
Wow.
But then Braxton Jones in the back of my mind. And I went with my gut instead of, I guess, my brain, and it all worked out. But I think those 20 minutes Ryan played on Thursday night was very critical for the way he played on Saturday because he was into a rhythm. He was comfortable. Guys were comfortable with him. And you give credit to Braxton Jones as well because he could have pouted, but he played a great game as well. You know, it's easy to be upset when you probably think you should be that guy, but my gut told me Ryan Hall, and I just told everybody to please stay ready because we're going to win this ball game.
Yeah,
well, this is how we're going to do it. You know?
You alluded to Braxton, and Ryan and Braxton were two of the five double-digit scorers for you guys against SIUE in an 82-68 win on Saturday. And like you said, Braxton could have pouted. He didn't. He came off the bench, hit some valuable shots at critical times.
He played some really good defense.
Yeah.
He was very physical as well. And that was our plan, was to just be – I mentioned pain in the pregame, but I wanted to say be physical. You know, their physicality on Rayshon Taylor was pretty good, and not just those who were across the board, but those guys kind of set the tone when they guarded him because they made everything he did. And I don't know what he scored.
Yeah, now he had 18 points.
But it was a quiet 18.
It was a quiet 18. He's the top scorer in the OVC. He's going to get his. But here's what's impressive to me. Rayshon Taylor has hit more threes than anyone else in program history, 0 for 6
yeah.
from beyond the arc. Well, and that's the game,
and
more
you
or less.
You give credit to not just the guards because we told our guards versus Rayshon Taylor, we cannot go under any ball screens, any pin downs. We are going to chase everything and be very physical as he's coming off those ball screens and those down screens. We told our bigs, you have to treat those ball screens almost like a trap. So you got to be extra aggressive. They hurt us early on with some screen and rolls because we wasn't tagging off the weak side. But we wanted to get the ball out of Rayshon Taylor's hands and not give him open looks at the three. Now, he shot 6 of those, but most of those were challenged. And we wanted to make everything he needed to earn it. But also, it couldn't be easy for him.
You know, you mentioned the idea of challenge shots, and it's nothing to take away from Ryan, but rather it's a promotion of his teammate Jack Campion. Felt like Ryan's 11, they came from unchallenged shots. They were wide-open threes that he hit, and that comes from Camp, right? 8 assists, 1 turnover, one of the best games that Camp has played after, let's be honest, one of the lesser games that Camp had played on Thursday. That bounce back 2 days later, what do you attribute that to?
Well, I told the guys on the halftime ESPN interview, every time Jack Campion got into the paint, good things happen. And I told our guys in shoot around, I made the comment, you got to get your feet wet. You know, that was an old term we used back when I played. And feet wet meaning get your feet in the paint because paint is sometimes wet in you. You know, so I kept using that terminology, and they were looking at me like, what is he talking about? But I wanted to get into the paint, you know, on Saturday because we wanted to make these guys play in rotation. I told our guys after that Eastern Illinois debacle that we're too easy to guard. You know, it's one pass shot. It's two pass shot. It's one catch, five dribble shot. We needed to move the basketball. And we saw something in our offense in the first half that we exploited those guys with. And that was the high, high ball screen for Jack Campion and Sam Cody in transition. But it was also a two-ball screen deal with Milky, and it ended with Steven Alex or Scheider on that second screen and Jack lifting back up. So we saw something in those two plays that we kind of rode the wave with those two plays and got a lot of traction out of those.
Again, it's the Stan Gerard Radio Show presented by Taroni's. We have so much to get to. We will hear from Ryan Hall, the G.D. Ritzy's player spotlight. But in breaking down the 82-68 win against SIUE, sure, it was a special night because of the win and against one of the better teams in the league, but it was also going to be a special night, win, lose, or draw, because it was senior night. Jack Milky, the four-year Screaming Eagle, capping off his home career at Liberty Arena on Saturday. So we're going to talk about Milk on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise. At Taroni, ain't nothing but a pizza party. At Taroni, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff at Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Fulton Interior Systems is a preferred interior contractor in the region. Office remodeling, new construction, building maintenance, finished carpentry, and ceramic tile are just some of the areas of our expertise. This is Dan Fulton, president of Fulton Interior Systems. We can help with any of your construction needs you have. Fulton Interior Systems, quality craftsmanship that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. Give us a call at 426-2775. At Fulton Interior Systems, we can help you build your business, literally.
And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show presented by Taroni's. I'm Brad Klein, happy to be with you. You know, earlier we were talking about the 82-68 win against SIUE on Saturday, the top win of the season for the Screaming Eagles. But then again, that day was special because of senior night. And senior night, that's always kind of a bittersweet night. Sad to see some guys go, but then again, it's cool that they get their 15 seconds of spotlight and fame because it is their night and it is the last game of their home career. Jack Milky was the only senior who played on senior night, with Nick Kittle being out and Sam Mervis on the bench. However, he didn't just play, he soared. Jack Milky had maybe the best game of the season, one of the best games of his career. 35 minutes as a starter, 12 points, career high, 13 rebounds. So, Coach, what was
it
like?
Jack said he had 15. He's going to see Ray Simmons
about
those two.
Okay,
got
to talk about that.
Yeah, he went back and counted those.
You know, Milk and I, we had a bit of an argument earlier in the season.
I remember.
About his double-double.
Yeah.
Because he had a double-double. You remember the game who we were playing?
No.
I'll find it. He had a double-double. It was his first career double-double. And I made a big stink about the idea that it was his first double-double, and he disputed it, but, you know, I went through the stats. This is his first. This is his second. 12-13 for the grad senior Jack Mielke. What was it like for you not only to see him play well, but to play well on that kind of stage?
Man, I just love that guy, man. I've coached a lot of guys over my 24 years of coaching, and I have so much respect for Jack Mielke because we're now in a basketball era where guys don't stay.
Yeah.
I think he's my first four-year guy that I've been here about 5 years.
Yeah.
He's my first four-year guy that stuck around. You know, we had a lot of guys that came in as freshmen, and they took off and left. And I said this the other day, and I'll say it again. He had a chance two times to probably leave us after his sophomore year, as well as his junior year. And we're extremely grateful that he decided to finish what he started. You know, unfortunately, we didn't get him a championship, but what he does have is he's walking out of here with a graduate degree, a great experience, a great undergrad degree, and he played a lot of minutes. I think he started with 58, 59 games in his career, and that's something that he'll cherish the rest of his life. I remember when I gave him his senior award the other day, and I told him, you want to appreciate this now, you appreciate this award. It was a frame picture in a USI letter, but
that was a cool thing. I saw those.
Yeah.
Was that supposed to be a surprise? Because I did the pregame.
Yeah, we. It's our first time doing those. You know.
Okay.
So it was,
see, he saw it before.
I'm sure. He's always around with it. He's one of those guys that's always around the coaches. You know.
By the way, he started 59 of his 102.
59.
So
yep. He's always around the coaches. We were back in the back meeting before practice today. You know, talking about some players and. Here comes Jack Mielke, because he's just one of those guys that want to know what's going on. And I didn't tell him to leave. I welcomed him into the conversation because he's a mature guy. But you can't find a better teammate than Jack Mielke, the ultimate guy who sacrifices everything and gives it all to the program. You walk in practice sometimes, he's lost his voice because he's talking so much in drills He'll be missed. He'll be missed. You know, I've heard that voice for 4 years. I don't know what we're going to do after this year because unless he can record it and get us through stretching every day. But
well, maybe this is just me coming from a broadcaster standpoint, but the things he says are great.
Oh, great content.
The way he said it all year, dare I say, a little bit annoying because he's been hoarse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's lost his voice.
And he just sounds, let's just call him 10 years younger than he actually
is.
Yeah, because
that's fair
of the high-pitched, right? That's kind of how Milk sounds right now.
Yeah. And that's fair to say. But we're honored. I'm so honored to just be a part of his life, man, because he's going to be successful. All those guys are, but he's going to be successful whatever he decides to do.
Yeah, you and I, we were talking after the game and the post-game show and how you are appreciative for him investing in you and investing in your program and thus staying at the program, something that literally no one else did, transfer portal, and that's what happens nowadays. I want you, if you could, to give us a kind of peek under the curtain for us. We could talk about his 13 rebounds. We could talk about his 12 points and what he did in the game, and I'm sure we will. But I'm most curious about basically the end of the game. A minute or so left, you sub him out so he can get his ovation, and that's kind of a senior night tradition, and on his way to the bench, you embrace him.
Yeah.
I think it was a hug, if not a high five, whatever it was.
I told him thank you.
Yeah.
And he said he wouldn't have it any other way. And I don't know if he knew at the time what I was thanking him for, and I said, I thank you for staying because you could have left.
Yeah.
And he said, I believe in what you're preaching. I love how you do things, and I wouldn't see it any other way. And for that, I'm grateful.
You know, Mielke is one of those guys that on senior night you knew he was going to have a good game because that's what he does, right?
Yeah.
He lives up to the moment. It was unfortunate that 50 is unable to go with his foot injury that he's still recovering from. Well, what has Nick Kittle meant to the program with him being a three-year guy for you?
Well, I can talk. He and Sam Mervis, you know, came from Indiana State under my good friend Greg Lansing 3 years ago. And they hit the ground running. You know, they brought some things to the table that was taught to those two guys at Indiana State. And I think the biggest thing they brought is the culture, their leadership, their hard work, everyday guys that, you know, Greg Lansing demands out of you. So it was just so easy. You would have thought those guys had been here 3 years, their first day here. They never came in to try to feel their way around. They came in from day one. And their voices, their impact of this program, how they did things and made sure guys did them their did it the way that we wanted it to be done. That just speaks volumes of the kind of coach they played for, but also their families as well.
You know, it's kind of, I feel like college sports, and certainly college basketball, maybe to a lesser extent now because of the transfer portal, but it's kind of a circle of life feel in that 50 comes in, he's immediately impacted and almost mentored by a Jacob Polakovich, right? And I feel like the Polakovich impact was felt by Nick on and off the court for his entire time here.
Yeah, I think, you know, they made each other so much better on the basketball court, he and Jacob. But I think Jacob taught him how to work, you know. I'm not saying Nick didn't work, but Jacob was on a different level when it comes to work. And that was good for Nick to see, you know, especially with the success that Jacob's having right now. But that was good for Nick to see. So once Jacob left, Nick came in and tried to be what Jacob was for us and did a good job of it.
But that's what I'm getting at is Polakovich, he's got accolades. Maybe he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, the way he played for USI, especially in the D1 transition. But what you just said of what he did for Nick, that's the impact that he had on the program beyond just stats. What is the difference in USI as a program, USI basketball, because of the senior class in a similar way to what Polakovich did for Nick? What has this group, 50, Mervis, and Milky, done for the program for years on?
They were just no-nonsense type of guys. They didn't hang out a lot. They loved their teammates, but they bought
it. Boring.
They bought it. Yeah, boring, I would say. They bought unison to this program. You know, oftentimes Nick, Mervis, Nick's a cook. He likes to cook. And Jacob did this at Uindy. He would always have the guys over, whether they're ordering food in or they're cooking. Nick and those guys, they're doing that right now. You know, they always have it. Nick's a, I think he could be a chef from what I hear. He can really cook between him and Milk, he and Milky. But they have the guys over, and they're always breaking bread together. And that's just one of those things where that's something the coach is not forcing. Those guys are doing their own. And that's what Jacob brought to the program, which bled into Nick. And we hope that trend continues to go as we move forward.
Hold on, just to piggyback of something you just said. This is all secondhand. You never got Nick Kittle to cook for you?
No.
It's just through the grapevine.
Yeah.
Why not? Come on now.
I don't go to the player's house. Yeah.
You could have him cook something and bring it into the office.
Nah, I never had anything he cooked, but I heard he's pretty good, though.
You're the coach. He's going to do what you say.
You know, we had considered one day. We was going to have him over to my house over the summer and do steaks, and everybody cooked their own steak. But it was a week. It got bad in practice, and I kind of canceled because I was upset. Like, we had a bad week. They didn't want to be around me. But maybe one day before he leaves, we'll get a meal out of him.
We talked about 50. We talked about Milky. Sam Mervis, not a typical walk-on. He started, 8-9 games last season?
Yeah.
And he was important in some key games. I remember specifically the Morehead State game last year. There's no way you guys win that game without Sam Mervis. So for you to see him go, and again, not your typical walk-on, what are the feelings around Sam Mervis?
Well, he's a born leader. This young man in practice every day, he's responsible for that scout team. But he's also required to play without defending the other team's plays. He's just that smart of a guy. And oftentimes you see him in the game, and he hasn't guarded the other team's stuff. He runs it in practice. Yeah. And so but he understands basketball and how we do things here. And it was a pretty easy transition for him to go from scout team to playing 10, 12 minutes a game the times he did do that. And that just says a lot about him as a basketball player in terms of his IQ. He has a tremendous IQ. Not the quickest guy, but his IQ is pretty good. And he bought those. You know, you look at the guys on our team right now, Luke Davis and Caden Gilhausen. I didn't think day one those guys would be pretty good. But they played on the scout team with Murphys all year. And those guys are very serviceable guys that could play D2 high minutes, you know, or not. But Sam made those guys better. You look at a guy like Josiah, Sam has drug him in the gym all year to come in and shoot with him. And he did it last year with Hernandez a little bit. He did it with Swope a few years ago. But Sam's a gym rat, and he just brings guys along with him to help those guys get better.
Again, you're listening to the Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF. We'll take a step aside, hear from Ryan Hall, the Penn Station East Coast sub of the show, when we return on WREF.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise. At Taroni, nothing but a pizza party. At Taroni, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right, pizza party at Taroni's.
For 20 years, Hoosier Home Improvement has been taking care of tri-state residents with their remodeling and roofing needs. Looking to replace or upgrade the windows in your home, Hoosier Home Improvement is a certified expert Pella installer and has been recognized as number one in the nation when it comes to customer satisfaction, as determined by Pella Corporation. At Hoosier Home Improvement, they take pride in their work, get projects done on time, and are licensed, bonded, and insured. For professional home improvement projects, call Hoosier Home Improvement at 812-421-1201.
At Penn Station, it's all about good taste. And during this month of February, Penn Station is offering their fresh grilled chicken parmesan sandwich at their monthly special. Enjoy a full meal with the delicious grilled chicken sprinkled in parmesan, fresh cut fries, and a delicious fresh squeezed lemonade, all for the low price of just $10.99. At Penn Station, it's all about the good taste. Penn Station East Coast Subs is a proud sponsor of USI Basketball, and they're conveniently located in Evansville, Newburgh, Henderson, and in Owensboro. Back here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF, it is the Penn Station East Coast sub of the show. Ryan Hall here on 97.7, listening to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. Hey, Rye, really appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
All right, so we've got a lot to talk about here because this past weekend for you, I'm sure it's kind of felt like a whirlwind, and it's not necessarily the easiest season for you, but this past weekend, thrown into the fire. And you play extremely well. 20 minutes against Eastern Illinois, you had 7 points off the bench. And then you get the start in place of Damani Harrison, more than 30 minutes, 11 points, and you hit three threes. So before we really get into the nitty-gritty of the games, how do you stay ready for an increased role from this past weekend when you've really been out of the rotation all year?
Yeah, it was definitely different, but I was blessed to get the opportunity to start. But me and my guys, me, Sam, Luther, Scheider and all of us on blue team especially have just been staying ready, getting extra shots up. I know me, Sam, and Milk just got shots up right now. Usually camps are with us. So just kind of trying to stay ready. Because, I mean, the worst thing you could do, like me and my dad always talk about, is just not take care of your body, not get shots up. And kind of with the mentality that you're not going to play, then you get thrown into the fire and it's like, oh, like I should have gotten shots up or something. So just staying confident, staying ready. And then the coaches also, like, I mean, they didn't just – throw me. They kind of like talked, communicated with me a little bit, so I kind of knew what was going on, just staying ready.
Our and coach then, said it was only, what, half hour before the game that you learned you were starting.
No, the starting I didn't know until, like, you said, like, right before the game. But, like, Eastern is kind of to stay ready, and then, I mean, going to SIUE game, I kind of figured I'd get in the game, and then seeing Damani go down, then they needed me to step up into a different role. So, like, okay, let's do it.
How much of the starts from last year prepared you for that very immediate role to start against SIUE in the final home game of the year?
I played a big part of it. I think last year getting my feet wet to start, and then this year, finally, I think Eastern helped a lot getting my feet wet, playing more than a certain amount. But, I mean, I got the start. It was cool seeing the intro, and then, I mean, it was really no different than last year. I told me and Johnny were talking about it. I wanted to get a hit in, like in football. And so, like, I wanted to rebound and lose ball or something. And then I was able to get in one of the gaps to get a steal. And then from then on, it felt great.
Was it EIU? I think you dove for a loose ball, like, pretty instantly on the floor.
Yeah.
That was a necessary play. I don't think you belly flopped on the floor just because you wanted to get a hit in. I mean, you worked that in.
Yeah, that was good. Thank you.
That was good. Again, Ryan Hall is the Penn Station East Coast sub of the show, talking about his 18 points from last weekend in one loss and one win. Eastern Illinois, the loss. SIUE, the win. And obviously, you know, that's the last home game of the year. Last home game of the year means it's senior night, and senior night's always going to carry an increased weight. You were not honored, although you are, correct me if I'm wrong, academically a senior.
Yeah.
You have plenty of eligibility left.
Yeah.
So you were not honored on senior night, but for you to get to be impactful in getting a win for your guys, I know you're close with Milk. I know you're close with Merv. I know you're close with Nick Kittle, even though he wasn't able to play. How much more important was it for you guys as a team to win for those three?
That was huge. I told Sam before, I'm like, I'm playing for you guys. And he was like, go out there, try to win the game. I'm like, well, duh. Like, but, I mean, it meant more for me. I felt like I was playing for them, especially those seniors. So, I mean, talking to them on the bench, or you could see, I feel like they're a little more active than normal during that game. So, I mean, it meant a lot more than after. It was kind of emotional seeing, like, Milk walk off the court. Sam, 50, everyone's kind of like, damn, this is kind of the last home game. So, I mean, it was an emotional game, but I'm definitely glad we're getting the win for him.
You know, for you, you did your job, which is to knock down shots, and you did that well against SIUE, 3-3, 6 tries. And it's not to take anything away from you. I don't think this is at all. But they were really open shots. They were quality shots. They were quality shots because Camp was playing extremely well. When Camp is dishing like he was, 8 assists, 1 turnover against SIUE, what does that do for a player like yourself who plays predominantly off ball?
It does a lot because I know sometimes it's tough to get offense going depending on what they do. But for me, like you said, I mean, my job is to go out there and score. And when Camp's getting downhill, it's amazing. I know there was a point where I did a couple shots. I think Milk did. Jay Rand did, too. And, like, our exact words to Camp were just like, hey, we're going to give you the ball. We're going to stay space and let you operate because, I mean, you're going to see more on the floor than we do. So, I mean, I think putting that trust in your point guards to, like, make decisions, and that was huge for Camp because, I mean, I think of their center got switched onto a ball screen with him. He went downhill for a layup without thinking about it at all. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see him play free. And, I mean, we reaped the benefits of it at the end of the day.
7 points against Eastern Illinois. You played well in the 20 minutes on Thursday, which, you know, Coach Gerard was we were just talking about it. If not for those 20 minutes being quality minutes, I don't think you get the start on Saturday. You needed to show what you got and to reaffirm his belief in you, and that was even more impressive to me. That said, I want to tease you a little bit because I go to practice all the time. I see you make free throws at the end. You're a good free throw shooter. And then I saw your face when you went 1-for-3 after getting fouled on a 3 on Thursday. Now, what was going through your mind? It's okay that you missed a couple of free throws. No one really cares. It's fine. Yeah. But I know you care, and I know it ate you up inside. So what was that headspace for you?
Yeah, especially so I got fouled.
On a 3, it doesn't happen all the time.
Well, yeah, so in Eastern game, me and Sam ran just a Spain ball screen. We do all the time in practice. He just hit me. I shot it, got fouled, went to the free throw line. Missed the first two. I was like, this doesn't happen. Like, what's going on? And then after
that's
I made
hours.
Yeah, I made the third one. I said, thank God. And then Aldi kind of talked to me. He's like, yeah, I think it's your first free throws in like a while. So, okay. So then last game, I think Camp hit me and I shot it, got fouled on a 3 again.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, we got to make the first. So I make the first one. Well, I think I got fouled and went to media, and Doug's exact words, he goes, all right, Ra, you can't go on for 3 now. I was like, okay. Thanks for the confidence, coach. But so I make the first one. I'm like, okay, good. And then I missed the second one. I was like, okay, we can't go 1-for-3 again.
Yeah.
But so now, I mean, I went 1-for-3 the first time, 2-for-3 the second time. So I got to go 3-for-3 next, I feel like, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess you're trending that way. But, I mean, just the fact that you got fouled on the 3 in consecutive games is pretty wild. I mean, that's the basketball gods looking down on you and saying, okay, let's give Ryan another shot 2 days after the 1-for-3. But, you know, you hit that media timeout because I remember that. And it's I almost felt like it was an ice the kicker situation.
Yeah.
You know, you hit the timeout. I mean, I know Doug was talking to you, and maybe Aldi put a bug in your ear, but how much were you thinking about, oh, my God, I have to do this again, 1-for-3, senior night, oh, my God. Was that at all in your head? Or was it more, good. Now I'm going to prove I can actually do this.
I think it was that one because I made the first one. I was so happy that I missed the second one. I was like, okay, I got to lock back in. But I feel like it's happened a couple times. I don't know why I'm the one that always gets iced on like free throws. I'm like, all right, we got to do this. So.
Well, for you, and like you said, I mean, like Holiday said, it had been a while since your free throws, two for two to begin the season at the free throw line, Shawnee State. But that said, that just kind of proves, hey, the idea of coming off the bench, producing, staying ready, it's not easy. But you did it, and it wasn't just you. That was the other thing, is that it was a team effort, which is probably what made the game so enjoyable against SIUE, a 14-point win on senior night. And, of course, you go for 11. Braxton had 10. Camp played well. Milky played well. Steven played well when he was on the floor. Jay Rand had 20. My question to you, Ryan, and you've been around the program. This is now your third year at USI. Obviously, two games left, and unfortunately, you guys can't go to the OVC tournament at this point. But what is in store for the last two? Because we just saw what this team is capable of. A little bittersweet because we know that if this happened earlier in the season, sky's the limit for this team. Mm-hmm. But what is next for USI basketball down the stretch of the year?
I would say these last two games, kind of just playing for your brothers. I know. After the Western game and then Lindenwood, those were two huge games. And then basically we got eliminated after that. And, I mean, it's, of course, easy just to mail it in and kind of give up on the season. But I think last game with it being so big for the seniors, I mean, they played their hearts out. So did we. I don't know. I feel like I know this next game, I'm not playing for myself. I'm playing for my family and my best friends I'm in the locker room with right now. So that's what I'm playing for. I know a bunch of people now, I mean, are playing the same way. So, I mean, just kind of playing for each other. I feel like that's what it is at the end of the day.
What have the coaches communicated to you about your role with Damani presumably coming back from his foot injury?
I mean, nothing really. I mean, today's practice is really good. Coach kept it short and sweet, just Monday normal practice. But, I mean, it doesn't change anything for me. Just kind of stay ready no matter what happens. So,
I'm not asking, and this is a question for every player in college basketball, not just on USI. I'm not going to ask you about a decision, if you've made one, if you've thought about it, really. But what I will ask you is, how much noise do you hear as a player about the transfer portal in season? How much thought and consideration does a player give to something like that? And again, this goes for any player at any level on any team.
Mm. I know I've been watching a lot of Rick Pitino, and I mean, the transfer portal is crazy because you have one good game, and everyone's talking about leaving the next level. You have one bad game, and it's like, I want to leave. These coaches are this and that. I never understand it. Same as Rick Pitino said, like, he has players leaving, and he's going straight to the portal. Like, he can't recruit high school players to fill those spots. So, I mean, for all of us, I think it's really hard, especially at the mid-major level, not to listen to that noise. I think the best thing you can do is have a good family around you. And then especially when we're here, I know me and my group, like, we're all close together. And, like, it's important to be able to have those friends to talk, bounce ideas off because, I mean, it's really easy to make a dumb decision really fast. I know last year some stuff happened with some, you know, and like, not that it was, I mean, he made his decision, but I feel like at the end of the day, if you just take 2 seconds to breathe, maybe even talk to the coach about it, I mean, it's smarter to keep stuff to yourself than just react off something that happened. Because I know a lot of people hit the portal and just sit there and do nothing. So, I mean, I don't love it, but
well, and again, I'm asking you because you're a player in 2025. It has nothing to do with your season or the season for the team and whatnot. It's just something I've given thought to of, hey, what would it be like to be a player with social media and with the noise around the portal nowadays? I mean, that would be probably uncomfortable at times, yeah. just because of the noise around it. That said, when it comes to you, Ryan, the thing that's impressed me most, it's not the 18 points from the weekend, the 7 on Thursday, the 11 on Saturday, and the win against SIUE. It's not the threes you hit. It's not diving for the loose ball. To me, the smile that you've had on all season long. Can't be easy. Falling out of the rotation, started a handful of games last year, not this year. But you've had this smile on all season long, and you're always, especially on the road when I'm traveling with you guys, you're always dapping people up. That's always you. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I mean, I love basketball. I think people forget how blessed they are to be in this situation. Like, yeah. I mean, you're playing divisional basketball. You're going to be here for free. And if you're not, like, I mean, you get to be around your guys regardless. So, I always said, like, it's got to be miserable to make every single day. So, like, if you're not playing, be so sad. Like, I mean, I don't want to do that every day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just like seeing my guys, like seeing you. We'll talk all the time, me and you. And then, I get to hang out with my friends. So then we got on the court. I mean, I've been doing this since I was like a kid. So like going to start, I kept just telling myself like, I mean, it's no different than playing at the park right now. It's just people watching. So, I mean, I think people make basketball bigger than it needs to be when it's just you've been doing it all your life.
I'm not going to lie. In my profession, reporters, whether it be newspaper, TV, radio, you ask a question, you kind of have an idea of what the answer is going to be. I didn't know what you were going to say. I expected the answer to, hey, I've been smiling all year. I thought that was going to be because of Ohio State.
I love this, man. Yes. Me and my dad were screaming watching that game. I know. It was a good little run. Feels good to be on top right now.
See, but don't take this the wrong way. Are you really an Ohio State fan, or are you just a State of Ohio fan?
Both. So I'm an Ohio State fan, but, like, for example, I'm a Bengals fan, not a Browns fan.
Okay, but...
And then a Reds, not a... We don't like Cleveland, besides it's LeBron.
But just outline this. Let's say the Browns are playing the Commanders.
Commanders.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So you really are a Cincinnati fan.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I like that. I know you got the red shirt on. Are you a Terry Francona supporter? You think that's the move?
Yeah. Me and my...
You sure about that? That was like a, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He did come from Cleveland. He's good. He's a good coach, though. So I just something's got to happen.
Oh, you don't like him because he was an Indian or... No, at the time it was Indians. It wasn't Guardians. So.
A little adjustment. But I think... I mean, we win games. I like him.
Okay. All right. So Ohio State obviously makes it a good year for you. You're always – I feel like for whatever reason, you always have a game that you're invested in when we're on the road. Mm-hmm. So give me your fandom hierarchy, sport by sport. I mean, are you a Reds fan before a Bengals fan? Bengals before Reds, Ohio State above all else. What is that ranking for you?
I would say Bengals first, second, Ohio State football, third, Cleveland, fourth, Reds, just because – hasn't been the best, but when the Reds are on fire, we love watching them, but definitely Bengals first. So it's a big offseason for us, too.
When you say Cleveland, you mean the Cavs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cleveland.
So it's pretty wild to me that a basketball player has the Cavs third behind two football teams. Are you telling me that football is your favorite sport above basketball?
I did love football. I was an All-State.
I know.
Yeah, corner. So, I mean, I did love football. I know there's a – in the second half to start, we backside tagged the ball screen. I was able to hit one of their bigs and knock them down. But I don't know. It's tough that we just won a national championship. Like,
is that – but for you, I'm not talking about Ohio State, but is football the first love and then basketball is just something that you happen to be better at? Is that what that is?
Me and my dad got me into football really early. And, like, that's what we clicked on right away. Then, like, he eventually showed me basketball. And I like basketball. But I think when I got into high school – yeah, like you said, it switched over to basketball a little bit. We ran a triple option instead of a spread.
Mm.
And so then that kind of threw me out the window of being a receiver. But so then I kind of switched to basketball. And, I mean, athletic-wise, it transferred over really well. But, I mean, also, like, I could talk to my high school coach, and it was kind of like you can get paid more with basketball than if you don't make the NFL in football, you're kind of
sure
out of luck. So I was like, okay. So then I switched to basketball, and, I mean – kind of like both.
Well, I mean, you're a Division I basketball player. Yeah. Clearly, it was not the wrong decision. But I'll ask you to do this for me. We know the roster pretty well. We don't know it through a football landscape. It is a basketball team. Assemble a football roster with a USI basketball roster. Now, I'm not going to, you know, we're not asking for 11-on-11. We don't have enough guys for that. But let's go through the roster. Uh-huh. Give me the position that they would play, because you were a corner receiver. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to pull up the roster, even though you already know the guys, and this is what we're going to do. Who is what? What is Braxton? He's got to be a corner,
Braxton,
right? He's too short.
He's going to be
slot?
A slot and a slot corner.
Okay, I like that. Now, also what I'll ask you to do is give me position and then if they could compete with you. You were all state.
I don't think none of them compete with me, but we'll, I will say that. But
Jay Rand,
he's going to be receiver with me. Receiver.
Receiver. All right. How about Shider?
Shider, I like him D end and tackle.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not inside?
No, he's a little shifty. I like him.
Okay. I like it. How about Swipe?
Cody, I'd put him at linebacker. Outside linebacker.
I like that. Yeah. I was afraid that you were going to go receiver heavy on this roster. I mean, height is big, but I was afraid of that. Okay. I like linebacker, like an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Camp,
he's going to be a receiver in a corner, but I want him, like, at a nickelback.
Okay, yeah, okay. Luther.
Lou.
Well, I like my running back.
I was just about to say running back. I was waiting for a running back. I don't think you have many other options at running back. Maybe Jared. We'll get to him. Milky.
Milk, I'm going to do tight end.
Yeah.
I think that'd be good at
tight
end.
Damani.
Damani's going to be the other wide out.
Okay.
Me, him, and J-Ran.
Are you out of wide outs?
I mean. We'll be the – so, like, there's, like, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd when we had them. That'll be a three, and then Braxton and Camp will be, like, a slot.
Okay.
Something slot.
Yeah. How about Steven? He's –
That one's tough. That one's tough.
He's kind of out of a position.
I know. I feel like I'd want him at D tackle.
Bulk up and go D end?
D end, like that one.
He just needs more weight.
Yeah.
Right? But I feel like he'd be pretty good at it.
Get his hands up.
Yeah. If he got more weight, Merv is in trouble, I feel like.
No, I feel like perfect spot for him. I'd want him at free safety and quarterback.
Free safety?
Yes.
But the thing is, if I'm a receiver coming across and Merv's coming over the top, I'm not afraid.
Merv will get gritty now. He'll go for knees.
He's built. He could deliver a blow, but he's also like 5'11 on a tall day. You know what I'm saying?
But he's dog, though.
Okay.
So if he's smart, he'll know the plays and knows what's going on. And then he's see ball, hit ball. I like it.
How about Jared Washington?
Jared, I feel like he'd be good at outside backer, too.
You think?
Outside backer.
I think he's your other tailback.
Oh, but I say outside backer, tailback. Yeah, like
okay.
That.
All right. Johnny?
Johnny can be whatever he wants. I like him at receiver, though. I do like him at receiver. Running back. Defense? Safety. Probably safety.
Alex would be a beast in whatever he chose.
I was going to say tackle and then.
Defensive tackle.
Both tackles, just put your hands up.
Yeah.
I like that one.
He's batting balls down. All right. You need a quarterback. I feel like Josiah's the close. Maybe Milky, but like maybe Josiah's a quarterback, I guess. What do you think?
He's a running back again.
You think?
Like running back and Mike.
Is anyone a quarterback on the roster?
I put Sam there.
Why is Joe not a quarterback? Come on.
Because I feel like he's a running back.
All right.
Running back and Mike linebacker.
I think he's like the same height as Baker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be.
Like 6 foot. How about Caden?
I still like DN.
DN? Luke?
Luke, D-tackle. Like
okay,
that.
Okay. And then... Finally, Nick.
Left tackle.
Yeah, I think he's your left tackle. I think he's your best bet at left tackle. Like, I still think that Shotter has to be inside.
Yeah.
I really believe that, like a guard.
That's fair.
But, okay, that's your football team, and no one's hanging with you on the gridiron.
No. Respectfully.
All right, Ryan, hey, I really appreciate your time, but more importantly, congratulations on this past weekend.
Thank
Great
you.
Game for you on Thursday, even better on Saturday, and a win against SIUE, and looking forward to the last two games of the season.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
All right, that's Ryan Hall, Penn Station East Coast sub of the show. Back in a moment on WREF. It is the Stan Gerard Radio Show presented by Taroni's.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise at Taroni's. Ain't nothing but a pizza party at Taroni's. Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right, Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right, pizza party at Taroni's.
Your single source for workplace supplies.
All stocks.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto.
Wrap it up shop here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show presented by Taroni's. I'm Brad Klein. Happy to be with you here on 97.7. Listen to theRAF.com and the WREF mobile app. We just had the Penn Station East Coast sub of the show, Ryan Hall, on the program. And obviously with him playing really well, Coach, I feel like that gives you and the rest of the rotation plenty of juice heading into the last two games of the season, UT Martin and Tennessee State Thursday and Saturday. How do we feel about the last weekend of the year?
Well, unfortunately, we're here, and I hate that we are ending our season on Saturday. got to be better going forward, you know. And you look at the schedule this year and the results, there's about five or six, maybe seven games. Probably could have went differently, you know. But, you know, we got to be better next year. But now that we're here, it's bittersweet because no matter what happens on Saturday, our season's over.
So, but with that in mind, I mean, there's you're running out of time to, I guess, show the OVC and also prove to yourselves what you got. So what else is there to prove for USI
in
the last two games?
I think for us, in these last two games, as I told our guys today, Tennessee Martin embarrassed us here at home.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things where we got to go back and avenge that loss. You know, they came out and got after us pretty early. We never recovered. So we got a chance to avenge that loss and do what they did to us here at their place. And then Tennessee State, we got a chance to sweep them. We've never done that before. So those are the challenges that I presented to our guys. But at the same time, you want momentum as you're in your season to help you out with recruiting, get you ready for next year. You know, we had a chance to, you know, see Ryan Hall at his best a couple nights ago. And so that just gave us a chance to see some things, but also just try to finish on a high note with those two things I just talked about.
In the last two games, what do you project Ryan's role to be with Damani presumably going to be healthy?
Well, Damani didn't start today. Didn't practice today.
Okay.
If Damani does not practice tomorrow, he'll come off the bench. You know, we got to, go with the guys that's been in rhythm and in rotation in practice. And if he doesn't practice tomorrow, we'll just see what happens. But, you know, my thing is we won the last game with that lineup, and I don't want to ruffle the feathers. I know Damani's been a very key component to what we've been doing this year, but Ryan also played very well the past two games, and we won our last game with that lineup, so we may stick with that depending on practice with Damani.
You know, speaking of the lineup, it's not just the starting lineup, but it's also the bench rotation and who played well against SIUE. I feel like you're an if-it-ain't-broke-don't-fix-it coach. Jaden Scheider, Alex Arouk played really well behind Steven and his decreased minutes because of foul trouble. So how do you plan on balancing minutes for those guys? Feel like you're going to want to try to get them on the floor.
Yeah, we'll try
Steven
to get them on. And if Steven is not in foul trouble, just who's going to bring the most energy and the most to the table during that game. Those guys are, you know, one day is Alex, one day is Scheider. You just never know. Mm. And I wish there was some consistency here, but it's part of the game. And so we'll probably bring Alex off the bench right away, and then as the game rolls along, we'll bring Scheider in pending field. I mean, if Steven gets in foul trouble. But those guys will all play. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the fact that we called them three-head monsters the other day because of how they perform. And this Tennessee-Martin game may be more of a matchup for Jaden Scheider because they're smaller, they switch five ways, they're faster. The Tennessee State game may be more of a matchup for Alex because of the big kid in the middle. So we got to keep exploring those options as we go along here. But we'll give Alex a chance and see how he fares. And if it's not working, we'll be making moves pretty quick.
Would there be any consideration? You kind of alluded to it with the Damani Harrison kind of curveball thrown at you, a half hour, 40 minutes before SIUE tip-off. You considered starting Alex with Steven. Is there any consideration to not necessarily starting guys next to Steven?
I want to see it.
You want to try it out off the bench?
Yeah, I want to see it, but seeing and doing is two different things, man. Once the game gets going, I'm like, I worry about every possession. I just worry about putting those guys in together and the other team scores. It's not like they're not scoring anyway, but I just worry about it not working. I can't get them out quick enough, but, you know, may need to try it, though. We're at the end of the season, so we may give it a look and see how it looks, you know, so we can probably use it next year.
Again, Stan Gerard here on WREF. It is the Stan Gerard Radio Show presented by Taroni's UT Martin on Thursday, a 7 o'clock start to the Franklin Lanes Master Tire pregame show. Tennessee State on Saturday, 3 o'clock start to the pregame show. You mentioned it earlier, the game against UT Martin didn't go according to plans here earlier in the season, and they end up winning the game by 31 points. Now, for you guys, it seemed like you got buried pretty early in that game. When you think back to what Terrence Gagnard was doing, hitting some crazy shots, how do you avoid a similar start so that you avoid a similar outcome against UT Martin?
Well, we have to defend better, you know. I feel like Gagnard, the way they played in transition in game one, we were two steps behind these guys, you know, in transition and in their half court. That ball was moving around, and we could not – it's like we were stuck in quicksand. Hmm. Not to mention that every time they scored, we tried to match those guys. You know, we came down and shot it too quick while they were patient, you know. So, just got to be better in a lot of areas, and I think mainly our defense and play with the tempo we play with. A couple nights ago against Edwardsville on Thursday night. You know, I felt like, you know, we shared the ball moved, we played fast, you know, we were excited about playing, we dove on the floor, we rebounded. So those things got to go into play on Thursday night.
I'm going to make fun of you a little bit from going back earlier in the show, how you're struggling with names, but I forgive you. When you coach for the better part of two decades, you got a lot of player names up in your head, you got to sort them out. Yeah. How you doing with the UT Martin names on the scout?
When I go in there, I'll put, let's just say.
Just number six.
I go number Gagnard. I made Terrence, you know. When I go to the second kid, I may go Vladimir.
No, but here's the thing. You got to get Terrence Gagnard because yeah, that's the easiest name on the roster. And it's not necessarily an easy name, but you got Vladimir Salarite,
so
Matias Zuzic.
Instead of putting Salarite, I put Vladimir on there because I can pronounce that. Because the guys, you know, when I'm doing the pronunciations on the board before the game, they're laughing. And I'm like, what's so funny? You know, they laugh at the pronunciation because I butcher names up.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll go with the easier part of the name, whichever one I can pronounce.
There's really no easy name for some of the guys, though, like number zero, Andrija Bukmirovic.
Yeah.
Are you impressed that I know these?
Yeah, you probably looked at the website.
Of course I did. I'm a pro.
So, yeah.
Come on now.
So I'll probably just do numbers.
Okay.
Because those names are hard to pronounce, and I'm not going to go in there and humor our guys because I'm butchering everybody's name up.
Oh, man. Hey, this has been the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF, presented by Taroni's Coach. Really appreciate the time. Again, Thursday, UT Martin. Saturday, Tennessee State. Looking forward to the last two games of the year and going out strong. Coach, really appreciate the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. You've been listening to the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF, 97.7 FM. The Ref, always the right call.
You have been listening to Stan Gerard on basketball on WREF, 97.7 FM, ESPN Radio, and ListenToTheRef.com. Tonight's show has been brought to you by Taroni's, Allstat Office City, Martin Woodruff State Farm Insurance Agent, Penn Station East Coast Sub, by Fulton Interior Systems, and by Hoosier Home Improvement. Be listening throughout the college basketball season each week for Stan Gerard on basketball. Tonight's show has been another sports presentation of Evansville Sports Programming Incorporated and WREF 97.7 FM ESPN Radio.